It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 346, entitled Extremely, Very, Very Tired. It was recorded on Monday, the 1st of September 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by three fabulous guests. I'm joined by Taco Verdonshot, by Dave Gray, and by Alex Osmichenko. We're here to talk about WordPress, but we get into a whole lot of other stuff as well. On the WordPress side, we talk about what's coming in Gutenberg 21.5. We also talk about the WP Engine automatic controversy. It's with the lawyers at the moment. Where are they at? We also talk about the Fair Package Manager. Where does it live? It's got a home. Where can you find that and what does it do? We also get into the education piece in WordPress and talk about the WordPress credits, which is enabling students in the real world to get credits in their institution, in this case in Costa Rica, so that they can offset their WordPress work against the university degree they are hoping to get. We talk about loads of events coming up, lots and lots of WordCamps, particularly in Europe, and also the WP Accessibility Day. Rocket.net has joined forces with hosting.com. What does that mean? Talk about PressConf as well, and then a fabulous new resource called Telex by Automatic, which allows you to create plugins and blocks and things like that, all inside a UI of a chatbot, and then immediately launch them into a built-in Playground instance. It's pretty amazing, in all honesty. And we also talk about why these cards got me stuck at the airport. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depends where you are on the globe. I feel like I'm in about seven places on the globe at the moment, because I've just come back from WordCamp US and it was great. I had a really nice time. We can get into that in a minute. But I am of an age now where I don't do flights and then sleep. My body just goes, no, you're just going to stay in the UK. So that's what happened. Stayed in UK time. Just before I left, it said, oh, now is time for Portland time. So I got used to it just prior to leaving, and now I'm back in the UK and feeling really tired. So I've asked the three guests to interrupt me as much as possible, because I'm not going to make...
We will, don't worry.
Yeah, please. There's going to be no sense issued forth from my mouth. So it's This Week in WordPress. We're up to episode number 346. There has been a lot happening. And because I was in WordCamp US over the last week, many of the stories that we cover today are not directly over the last 7 days, which is usually what we do. So there might be a few that go a little bit further than that. It would be really boring if it was me just talking the whole time. So that's why we invite intelligent people on to have a conversation with me so that they can push me in the right direction. Don't be so shy, Taco, and point at yourself, because they keep the conversation going and they're from all over the globe. They're from different companies and industries and, you know, it's just really entertaining having them on. So let's introduce them one at a time. So our regular, one of our regular, we have like five or six co-hosts who come on very frequently, and I'm very pleased to have Taco back. How are you doing, Taco?
Really well. Yeah, good. I don't have a jet lag, so
helps. You were somewhere. Where did you go?
Yeah, I went to the beautiful city of Amsterdam for an open source summit.
The heck? So that's like a bike ride.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah. But what was that? I mean, obviously the open source summit, I can kind of get what it would be, but was it big? Was it a tiny thing? Was it a new thing? What is
no,
it?
No, that's a big thing. So the Linux Foundation has a lot of projects, open source projects, and this is basically their European flagship event where they bring together a lot of people from all of those open source projects. So it was several thousand people.
Nice. And did you get the sort of same warm and fuzzy feeling that you would do at a WordCamp, or is it a different, more, I don't know, corporate event or something like that?
No, it's definitely very similar to the WordPress vibe. I think that comes with the open source nature of all the projects, is that people tend to be of the more sharing type. Mm-hmm. And caring for each other, helping each other out. But it was definitely a lot more technical than the average WordCamp.
Okay, I'd be totally out of my depth. I'm glad I went to WordCamp US.
Same here, and it was so much fun.
Oh, I'm glad. Oh, I'm really pleased. I saw some pictures and I thought, oh, he's not here, but it looked like you were having a nice time. So
absolutely.
That was good. Yeah. Well, anyway, let me do the proper bio. So meet Taco Verdonschot, Chief Community Officer at Progress Planner, and one of the regular co-hosts of Site Spotlight, which is a YouTube series that helps WordPress site owners improve their websites with practical tips. Taco has been active in the WordPress community for years as a contributor, organizer, and advocate for open source. He also helps to organize WP Accessibility Day, more of that later, a global event which focuses on building a more inclusive web. Taco lives in the Netherlands with his wife and two daughters. Thank you for joining us, Taco. Really appreciate it.
Happy to be back.
Joining us again is Dave Gray. He's been on the show. Dave is like, it's like
three in a row.
New Monday home, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know quite what happened there. Dave went from like no appearances to suddenly he's like on about 28.
Like us, yeah.
Thank you for joining us again, Dave. Really appreciate it. And I'll read Dave's bio because it gives you an indication of what happened there. Dave was the last minute stand-in for the last two episodes of this show. However, this week is his originally scheduled appearance. Dave is the man behind friendly web guide plugins and is creating a range of plugins to help web designers and site maintainers with a variety of client pain points. Glad to have you back, Dave. Thank you so
Good
much.
Good to be back again.
Appreciate
Next
it.
Next week I'll have a break.
Yeah, well, no, you shan't. I shall be phoning you up 10 minutes before the show goes live to say, Dave, we need you. And then finally, brand new to the show is Alex Osmichenko. Hello, Alex. How are you doing?
Hey, it's great.
You can see from nice Alex's... you're so welcome. I love it when we have new people. Don't get me wrong. I love it when we have, you know, returning guests and all that. But I think one of the best bits about this show is over the course of many, many months, I end up meeting dozens of new people. And, you know, now Taco knows Alex and Alex knows Dave and the virtuous cycle continues. And that's really nice. Yeah. So Alex, as you can see on the screen, is the CEO at IT Monks, which is a WordPress agency. He is also over there, the founder of IT Monks, which is a WordPress agency. They've been leading projects that push the boundaries of what's possible with WordPress. With over 15 years of experience in custom builds and complex development, he thrives on tackling challenging tasks and bringing WordPress websites to the next level. Alex specializes in optimizing high-performance systems and handling large-scale projects, always with a focus on stability, scalability, and long-term growth. So there is our panel for today. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Taco. Dave.
Nice to meet you, Alex.
Yeah, indeed. Right. Is that, I think, that is definitely one of the nice things about this show is all of that.
Maybe we can add accessibility to that list at the end.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. All right. Let's find out a little bit later. So just a few bits and pieces. Firstly, if you would like to comment like these people have done, I'll show you how to do that in just a moment. But we always get a few comments at the beginning, usually to do with the weather. So Influence WP, so that'll be Ryan, is joining us from a gorgeous day in Charlotte, NC, North Carolina, I believe, in the US. Thank you for joining us. Loved it. Reese Wynn is also joining us. His message has got truncated, but I'll read it all out. Hello from a dreary, a dreary and miserable Newton Le Willows. Life forms. This is in reply to my comment saying, invite any life forms that you like. I have shared the URL as requested to the spider in the corner of my womb. Oh, I like it. He wasn't a web guy, so he wasn't interested. That's actually quite funny.
Well played, Reese.
Bravo, Reese. Sorry, that's excellent. Elliot's joining us from just down the road. Hi, Elliot. Nice to have you with us. And we're also joined by Danilo. I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. I apologize, Danilo, but very nice to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. And Marcus Burnett is joining us. And this is kind of cryptic. And it says, happy Monday. So sorry for the bag search. Well, it's not that cryptic because when I was leaving Portland yesterday, you know, you have to go through customs at the airport and you put your bag in the thing and it goes through the X-ray machine. Well, my bag, you know, most of the time it'll sail right through. But this time I got hauled over so that I could empty my bag because there was a suspicious object in the bag. And this was the suspicious object.
Oh,
it's Marcus's Unleash the Wapu game, which I bought from him. And basically, they wanted to know what the heck it was because they're like, packs of cards are not that big. And what it is a whole bunch of Wapus. And it's like full on. Look at it. It's like a real chunky game. And Marcus has invented, built, designed, and had made the game, Meet the Wapus, Unleash the Wapu. And this for some reason was the thing. The security pulled me over and they went through it all and had a good old look. And I had to explain what the heck it was. But firstly, bravo to Marcus. It's available now. If you want to buy it, I'm going to say go Google Unleash the Wapu, which is spelled like that, dear listener, dear watcher. It's Unleash, as you'd expect. It's not focusing, is it? For some reason, it won't focus. Never mind. Oh, it was just about to focus. I took it away. So it's Unleash the Wapu, and Wapu is WAPUU. However, word of advice, don't take it on an aeroplane, is all I'm saying. Because that little X-ray machine has a really hard time figuring out why it's all in layers like that. And it doesn't look like a normal pack of cards. They thought it was some kind of incendiary device.
And I expect it was recently printed, might mean there's some residue from the printing machine as well.
Oh, okay.
And that could set off bomb threats.
Well, they were definitely
in the past where
definitely hauled me over. Yeah. So what you will get if you are one of the people that want to buy this game, you'll get, you know, the usual stuff, like you'll get your kind of instruction card, which looks a little bit like that. There's the terms of how you play it and what have you. And then each of the cards, as you might expect, features a little wapu with some. It's a bit like, I don't know, something like Top Trumps in the UK. And you play with a team of four people pitted against each other, and you all get wapu cards, and they've got characteristics and what have you, and they're from different parts of the world. And I confess I haven't played it yet, so I will read the instructions and get to you. But like I said, don't go... Don't go on the airplane. So that fully explains that.
Travelers, so it's like half the size.
There should be a travel version. No, it'd be really tiny. It's already just about the right size. But I thank you for that, Marcus. Thanks for getting me a copy of that. And then I don't know if you, I got to the lobby of the hotel, and Michelle Frechette came over, and she gave me this. Like, keep your eyes out. Keep your eyes on my screen. Oh, you can't see it. It's too bright. Oh, that's a shame. But it says the word howdy. She gave me a howdy sign, which I've now hooked up. So thank you, Michelle, for doing that as well. I'll figure out a way to make it so that it's not as insanely bright as that, because
in dark background,
just light, isn't it? You can't actually read the word. You can read it better when it's switched off. But thank you, Michelle, for getting that to me as well. Really appreciate it. Okay, if you want to make a comment from the show, the best thing to do is to go to this URL. Head to wpbuilds.com/live. If you just look underneath Taco's chin, you can see it there. Yeah, lovely. What a pro. wpbuilds.com/live and leave us a comment. It really does keep the show going. Really would appreciate that. This is a WordPress thing, so we'll definitely start talking about WordPress. But before we do that, just a couple of bits of housekeeping from me. This is the address where we live on the internet, wpbuilds.com. If you like what we do and you want to keep in touch, just pop your email address into there. And we'll send you a couple of emails a week. One, when we parcel this show up as a podcast, that'll come out tomorrow. After we finish it off later today, I edit it and put it out as an audio episode. That'll come out tomorrow in the morning. But also, when we release our regular Thursday podcast episode, that's kind of how we started. We're on to 435 will be the one dropping this week. But the last one was with Ross Morsali of Search and Filter. And then you can see, look, Dave was on it a little while ago, as well as Tim Nash and a whole variety of the great and the good in the WordPress space. So you can check that out as well, and we'll drop you an email about that also. Okay, all the self-promotion bits are done. Let's crack on with the bits and pieces that either the guests have brought to my attention this week or that have been brought to attention via an RSS feed or something like that. So here's the first thing. Gutenberg 21.5. This is the regular, it's on make.wordpress.org, and this comes out fairly regularly. Very often, there's not so many features, but this time around, there's quite a few new features because these couple of things are going to drop soon. Introducing, it's always nice to hear, something new. We have an accordion block, kind of the sort of thing that you've had in like block suites for ages, you know, stackable, cadence, generate blocks, yep. Those kind of things have had it for a long time, but it's now going to be available to you as a core block. I don't know what capabilities it's got, but you know, you can imagine what an accordion can do, I'm sure. The other notable feature would be this one, the command palette, think Spotlight or Alfred. It's been available in WordPress for a little while, but you know, only in limited places. And my understanding is with the next version of WordPress, or indeed if you download the Gutenberg plugin, you can have it sooner. It's going to be available in far more places. So certainly on the WP admin side of things too. It says all parts. It says here, we aim to bring the command palette to all parts of the WordPress experience. As a first step, the command palette is now available in the admin dashboard. So who knows where that'll go. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, because then it just gets into changelog and track tickets and things like that, is there's also now support for Borders Radio. Border Radius. Say it right, Nathan. That is the measure of how tired I am. That's going to be available for you to preset in your theme.json file. So if you're shipping something to a client and you just think, actually, everything ought to have the same border radius, well, now you can do that without having to go in and dial it in on each individual image, for example, that you drop in. You can do that. So there's that. Does anybody want to comment on that? I was talking a lot there.
I want to make a bet.
Okay.
Let's make a bet, everyone. When will be the slider block ready?
is that the kind of thing that you want? Do you want a slider block?
I want slider and tabs.
You want both? I mean, tabs I can see. I kind of feel, okay, I've got two things to say to that. First of all, it feels like sliders kind of lost a lot of traction. People thought they weren't accessible, they were bloated and what have you. But with modern CSS, you really can build a credible slider in just CSS. So is that what you're imagining? Not like some sort of heavy JavaScript library to do it, just a CSS-based thing?
Well, at least.
Yeah,
it should start with something. I hope accordion was done right, relying on the interactivity API and build the right way. And last 3 years, we're using Swiper.js for library for implementing slider, and it's always a pain implementing that on the backend side of the editor. So frontend is fine, but the backend, it's a kind of not native and has certain disadvantages of not having that already in the Gutenberg.
Okay, that's interesting. So slider block coming soon to an Alex-based website near you. We'll have to see. I have no intuitions as to whether that will happen, but we've certainly got these three things. So let me just recap. Command palette, accordion, and border radius presets. Like I said, loads of other stuff as well. But
yeah, I think there's a good comment by Reese on this topic.
Reese says, sorry, Dave, we've completely obliterated your face. Oh, no, we haven't. just crank the chair off a bit. Excited for an accordion block and add FAQ schema extension to that accordion block. Feels like an easy plugin to make. Famous last words. Is that something you're planning to do, Reese? Will we find you here next week?
Hoping that someone at Yoast is paying attention and building this already.
You would have thought so, right? I'm guessing that, you know, those people at Yoast that you know oh so well are probably on top of this kind of thing. But yeah, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Have some sort of schema there. Dave, anything to add?
Oh, you can see me again now.
Yeah, apart from the fact that you're back, yeah. But loads and loads of different things like enhancements. There's a mention here of like certain features that have been added to the data views and various components and what have you, but it's not really for this show. This is What's New in Gutenberg 21.5. Go Google it to find out more. Right, on to a topic that hasn't really gone away since, what, September last year when Matt Mullenweg had the State of the Word. No, it wasn't the State of the Word. It was the address at the end of WordCamp US. That obviously got reprised about 3 or 4 days ago, and we can talk about that in a minute, but let's just go to this one first. So this is the repository. Ray Moray, as we all know very well, she sums up the article. It's all about, well, the judge who is deciding what's happening with the automatic bid to dismiss WP Engine's antitrust claims. As we know, I'm no lawyer, but I've highlighted a few different bits and pieces, and basically nothing's been decided. Let's put it that way. You know, we're not at the point where things have been decided. We're at that stage in the legal proceedings. And again, I don't really understand how it all works, where the lawyers argue with each other. You know, it's like this thing, no, that thing, this thing. And this was all about, well, it happened a little while ago, and it said during the hearing, the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California automatic, so it got automatic VWP Engine, automatic argued for a dismissal of 14 of WP Engine's 20 complaints, including antitrust, extortion, defamation counts, and for parts of the complaint to be struck under California's anti-slap statute. So automatic trying to get rid of 14 of the possible 20 things which WP Engine have filed against them. Automatic argued that WP Engine was relying on WordPress's 64% share of the content management system market in the claims of monopoly power. However, their sort of counter argument there was it's free and open source. Although we're 64% of the market, it's not like a commercial thing where we kind of dominate it. You can go and download it. And so I can see the common sense of that. However, they also argued that WP Engine hadn't shown that automatic could raise prices or restrict supply. And of course that, you know, back and forth, WP Engine countered, including that WP Engine had their access blocked to WordPress.org, which was later reversed because of a court order. So that they claim is direct evidence of their ability to sort of harm entities like WP Engine. And it goes on, automatic was asked the court to strike the defamation claims, which stem from the keynote that we just mentioned, because, and I'm going to quote here, I'm going to read it directly because I don't want to get it wrong. Automatic also asked the court to strike WP Engine's defamation claims, which stem from Mullenweg's keynote at WordCamp US 2024 and a blog post published on WordPress.org calling WP Engine's platform, in quotes, a cheap knockoff, and accused the company of not contributing enough back to the WordPress project. The defense, Automatic said, that it was hyperbole, it was rhetoric, basically. And that's where we are now. So two fro. And then the judge didn't rule anything and said the motion would be under submission. Well, I'll read you again because I don't want to get the legal language wrong. The judge, whose name I'm not going to try and pronounce, didn't rule from the bench and said she would take the motion under submission, with a decision expected at a later date. And then I ignored the last paragraph, but Taco, you thought that was the most interesting bit, I think, didn't you?
Well, yes, because like you said, there's a lot of back and forth, but what does this really mean? Why was this hearing relevant? And I think that's summarized in the last sentence.
I'll just read it out in that case. Yeah. Maybe that's going to be easier. I'll read the whole last paragraph. WP Engine filed its original lawsuit last October and expanded its claim to include antitrust allegations in November, which is what we're dealing with in this article. The court's decision on Automatic's motion to dismiss will determine whether the case proceeds to full discovery and trial or is significantly narrowed. So it's really just outlining what will happen in the future. I expect lawyers to just like get this completely. For me, it's I don't even what.
But I'm very happy that I'm not well known in the US legal system.
Yeah, but it's important for all of us to be kept appraised of it. And the person that does it best in our space is Ray, without a shadow of a doubt. If you want to know what's going on, like if you want actual news in the WordPress space, go to the repository. The URL, by the way, if you don't know it and you haven't already subscribed, is therepository.email. Just go and subscribe. She's like got a history of writing. You know, she's a journalist. She's a trained journalist. So when she comes across stories like this, she it reads like a newspaper, right? She's done her Absolutely. Due diligence and does it over and over and over again. And I had a chat to her, and she does. She literally attends virtually where possible these court cases and sits through them. It's pretty remarkable. We're just doing jokes. We're just doing jokes and having a nice time chatting with each other. But Ray is a, you know, really seriously credible journalist. And I do want to make the point and draw the definition of there's a big difference between what we do and what she's doing over there. So go check it out. Dave, Alex, anything to add on that somewhat controversial topic?
It'd be nice to get like...
Let's go with Dave first. We'll go Dave and then we'll go Alex.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get like an end result to all of this. Like, oh. Kind of just not quite move on, but kind of sort of just try and progress and grow and, yeah, just kind of not brush under the carpet because it can't move on from that sort of thing. But yeah, kind of trying to heal the community and kind of progress and grow rather than kind of in the squabbling, just kind of, yeah, get back to the happy times.
I think the thing is, I'm because I have no experience with the law, I've never been in a court of law. I don't, in fact, really even know anybody who's been in a court of law so that I can ask them what it was like. It's just, to me, it's always on television. And on television, the bit that we've just read takes like 4 minutes. And then suddenly in the next scene, they're all fighting out in the actual law case. And what it's making obvious to me is, especially at this level where you've got, you know, serious amounts of lawyering happening on both sides, I guess this is the normal process. It just takes months and months and months, and each side has to be allowed the opportunity to present its best defense and figure things out. So, yeah, interesting. Alex, sorry, we interrupted you.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I'm also trying to stay out of this case, but unfortunately what I noticed is that WordCamp Europe had significantly lower attendance this year, and I hope that is related to the expensive Switzerland and not to this case. And hopefully the next year WordCamp Europe in Krakow will be back again on track.
I think it's impossible for it not to have had some effect. Whole thing, whether or not it's an effect which bothers you, you know, like Alex, Dave, Taka, whether or not you show up to things like this because of that, or in some cases, whether or not you're prevented, and I'm thinking about Taco at this point, you know, whether or not you can't attend in the way that you'd imagined you would be able to attend. There's definitely an impact. Whether or not you want to engage with it or just, you know, keep it at arm's length, I think we all want it over, though, don't we? And that last sentence indicates that we've got quite a while before before the moment can be said it's over, because, you know,
and
that's just...
Yeah, and I think it's hard to fully stay out of this because the consequences of the court case could affect anyone in our ecosystem.
Yeah, okay, so that's an interesting point, isn't it? So everything's sort of carrying on as normal right now, isn't it? Apart from, you know, the background of it all, and, you know, maybe you've it's caused ructions between you and people that you were friendly with, perhaps that's happened, but your business is probably going on in the same way. The caveat, of course, to that would be if you're an employee of WP Engine or somebody that was using their products or services during that point, I guess.
I think even beyond that, Nathan, because what we're seeing is before all of this, we'd have acquisitions nonstop happening all the time. And that seems to have slowed down significantly since all of this started. And it might not be a one-to-one relation. Obviously, there are more things happening in the world than just this one court case. But it's hard to imagine that there's no relation whatsoever.
Yeah. So let's see what happens. From the piece that Ray wrote, I don't think we have any expectation of things being kind of sorted out in the next few weeks, but hopefully things will sort themselves out. This all began in WordCamp US last year, more or less exactly a year to the day, so you're very, very, very close to where we're at now. And of course, WordCamp US has just finished. That was the card game that I got that I showed you earlier. That was given to me by Marcus at WordCamp US. That's just wrapped up. And it was a fairly long event. It was different to some others in that there was a showcase day as well as a kind of contributor day. So they did things slightly differently. So it's a 4-day long event. I don't know the numbers, but my guess would be that attendance was down. I think you could attribute that to a variety of things. So for example, it was in the school holidays. There's a whole, I am definitely not getting into this one, but there's definitely politics, actual politics going on at play there. So maybe that's had an effect as well. And the fact that it's in the same place twice, maybe that's the thing, but also add into the mix what's been happening over the last year. That has probably made a difference as well. Seemed fairly well attended for me, but it wouldn't surprise me if the numbers were down. And in the speech at the end, which Matt gave, he mentioned this lawsuit very briefly. He touched on it at the minute. Really, he was touching on it so that he didn't have to touch on it, if you know what I mean. He mentioned it as a way of saying, I'm not going to get into that. But he did say that he thought that WordCamp US was probably not timed well. And I think my guess there that he was talking about, the school holiday thing. I'm not sure. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. At the same time, they've scheduled the next one even earlier in August, which makes it harder.
So. We'll circle back to that in a bit, actually. But yeah, we'll come back to WordCamp US and the timings for next year. So anyway, that's the complicated law thing that I fully don't understand. But hopefully you can go and get more information. Ray's been covering it forever. And so she's got all the facts lined up for you. So, if you go and look at the tags, you can find it out on Ray's website. But that's where we're at, basically, at the moment. I hope that we've managed to explain that. So this is FAIR. It's an acronym. Taco's brought this to my... Actually, Taco hasn't brought this to my attention. We've mentioned this on numerous occasions, but this is the Federated and Independent Repositories. Do you want me to explain it, Taco, or can I just hand it to you and you explain it?
Oh, I'd love to hear your explanation.
Okay, let me see if I mess this up. So WordPress.org has been ever since WordPress kind of came out, and obviously I don't know how far back we go, but pretty soon after WordPress was available on the .org platform, it became a repository also for plugins when that architecture was built into WordPress. So you go to your WordPress website and you search for a plugin, and if it's available on the repo.org, that's the one that you're using, the WordPress.org one. However, as a consequence of the stuff that we've just been talking about, the politics, now let me get this straight in my head. What was the thing? There was a thing at that moment, wasn't there? What got cut off? Did the repository get cut off from the WP Engine phone?
The other way around, but yes.
Okay.
Got cut off from accessing the repository.
Oh, sorry, I said it the wrong way around. Yeah, okay. So anyway, some people were cut off. And that then, I think, led to some people who were already concerned about that point of failure to create what is being described as the Federated and Independent Repository. And Federated implies there's no one point of failure. It's like a bunch of things sitting in the background that can communicate with each other. So if .org goes down, it goes down and nobody can get to those plugins. In this scenario, what has been built, and I guess it, to some extent it stands against WordPress.org, but maybe not. Maybe you can have them concurrently, I'm not sure. But it's a different way. You can hook up this as a plugin to your WordPress website, and then instead of going to .org, you go to mirrors of .org, and a bit like with Mastodon or something like that, you can pick where your server is. You can specify which repository or which repository mirror you want your plugins to come from. And I guess that gives those repository mirrors in the future the option to go off in their own direction as well. They could, I don't know, they could service page plugins as an example. That might be one thing that they wanted to do. So that's me trying to sum it up. So how badly did I do?
You did a very good job.
Oy.
Yeah, I think the key element here is that WordPress.org is controlled by a single person. And anyone can spin up a FAIR repository and can aggregate those repositories. So there no longer is a single person who can control what plugins you can or cannot install in WordPress or cannot offer through an official repository, basically, where official has a slightly different meaning. So right now, you have the FAIR plugin installed. It will serve you everything from WordPress.org, but it will also serve from an alternate source, which at this moment is a mirror of .org, but might be completely separate, independent repositories going forward.
So the reason that we're surfacing this is because, and again, Taco, forgive me if I've got this wrong, until now, FAIR didn't have its own home on the web. This is a new website. Which explains what's going on. And the pretty cool URL, I guess PM stands for packet manager in this case. So they've bagged the perfect, wow, that's pretty cool. They've bagged the domain name FAIR, the acronym, perfectly, FAIR.PM. Wow, I wonder how much they had to, somebody had to stump up for that. Maybe it was just freely available floating around.
It was available.
Oh, nice. Oh, that never happens these days. You get the actual one that you want. And so this website has all of the bits and the pieces that you need to figure out the history, what's going on, how it works. And you can see at the top, we're on the kind of the homepage.
And most importantly, if you want to contribute, you can find how to get involved as well. There's now a Slack group. There's a very active GitHub repository or set of repositories on GitHub. So if you have code skills, well, you can help out. If you don't have code skills, you can still help out.
Nice. So just across the top, we've got the about, so FAIR's mandate and initiatives, governance. So there's a whole slew of articles there about how it's being governed. There's a blog, Get Involved, Slack, and something called FAIR Working Groups. And they've also got a knowledge base. So brand new, FAIR.PM. Dave, Alex, anything to add to that?
No, it all sounds good. I was around sort of WordCamp Europe last year to hear about this announcement. So it's nice to see things progressing and actually got a live site to bring it all together under.
Can I ask you, Dave, did the fact that it popped up, did you change anything? Persuaded, let's go with that. Were you persuaded to switch over to a different repository than .org, or have you remained where you were?
All my hosting is still just on the normal .org one because I'm kind of sitting back to see how things grow, and I've only got a few customers on my hosting side of things on that side through. But yeah, it's good to kind of, the larger scale people to have their options open on that side.
Yeah, indeed. Alex, any thoughts on FAIR?
I have questions actually to Taco. You mentioned that there is one owner of WordPress.org, but when I was researching that, I read somewhere that there were actually like three owners, like equal parts. Is it just a fake owners?
So one of the statements of Matt in the whole court case thing is that he's the sole owner of WordPress.org.
Okay. Oh, was that one of the things that came out? But yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We will probably have to research that properly before we commit to that being the answer. But Taco, just one quick question about that. If I was to install this plugin, it's a plugin, right?
Typically. Yeah, one of the parts is a plugin. Yeah.
Okay, so the part that most WordPress users would make use of would be a plugin, which would then enable all of this engineering to be. How would that look? Do you have like a? It have a like a different UI, or is it basically the same?
Hardly. When you install it, you get a few options, and that is what source do you want your plugins to come from? Is that the .org mirror or .org? At this moment, there's two options. And do you want to load Gravatars from gravatar.com, which is connected to the automatic ecosystem as well? And there's a few things that change. So, for example, the events feed in your WordPress dashboard will have some different sources. There's minor changes that all contribute to privacy and, don't necessarily expose information to the usually coupled automatic ecosystem that's very close to WordPress core.
It'll be really curious to see how this develops, because it definitely feels like a, how to describe it? In an ideal world, this kind of stuff wouldn't matter to people. You know, it'd be like, well, I can fork WordPress if I like, and I can use this other repository, this package manager, you know, FAIR in this case, and it won't matter. But for reasons of politics, it seems to matter. You know, it's almost like you're, how to describe it? You know, if you can be on one side or the other.
That's the good thing. That doesn't have to be the case. You can decide to use the FAIR plugin and still publish your plugins on WordPress.org, which is what we are doing with Progress Planner, for example. Our plugin is available on WordPress.org. Nothing changes, but we're running the FAIR plugin on our own site. As one of the reasons to comply with more of the European privacy laws. Okay. So they go hand in hand, and there's no reason you have to pick a side.
Well, I suppose the best news is that now there's a website where, you know, if you were confused by any of this, or if it all seemed a little bit complicated, or the politics put you off, then now you can go and get the word from the horse's mouth, if you like. So fair.pm is where you're going to go to find all of that out. And just a couple of quick comments. Going back to what we were talking a moment ago, Marcus, we'll come to your WordCamp US comment in a minute. But Paul Bedford just saying hi. He's joining us from Pretoria. Thank you. Nice of you to join us. And Patricia as well saying hello. Thank you so much. All righty. Unless anybody's got anything to say about FAIR, we will move on.
I have one question. Is it possible to implement it with must-use plugins, so it's not interfaced somehow to the customers?
Probably. I'll look into that and get back to you.
Oh, nice. But thank you.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, I don't have the answer to that either. So unless Dave suddenly can drop a bomb, then we don't know, and we will move on quickly. No. Okay. In which case, here we go. Let's move on. Right. Back to the repository again. This is so nice. This is such a cool thing. For me, about the most profoundly exciting, I think, bits of anything to do with WordPress is where it meets education. I know that's not everybody's button, but it is mine for reasons I won't go into. I'm really curious about this side of things. And so things like WP Campus Connect, I'm fascinated by it. And this is another thing that I'm fascinated by. This is the WordPress credits idea. And you may not have heard about it. It's got far less kind of popularity at the moment than something like WP Campus Connect, because it's much more small and it's a footprint at the moment. So last year, the University of Pisa decided to align itself with WordPress, and it was going to offer credits to its current students. So it's a legit university where you go and you take classes. You know, it's a university, that kind of thing. But they're going to offer credits for people studying about WordPress. And you can create the sort of bit of your university degree which corresponds to your WordPress credits, and then that will count to your degree. If you do well at it, you'll get more points. And if you don't try hard at it, you'll get less points, and so on and so forth. So it was launched last year with Pisa University. It feels like that's going well, because now we have another place that's completely outside of Europe, Costa Rica. I'm going to butcher this. I'm so sorry. Fidelitas University in Costa Rica has joined the program, and they're going to, in the coming weeks, onboard 15 students from the computer science faculty. And the idea is to then broaden that over time. I was lucky enough at lunch one day at WordCamp US to sit down with the person mentioned here, the WordPress Foundation. Forgive me, Isotta. I can never do your surname correctly. Oh gosh, I can see it in front of me, but it doesn't matter. No, hold on, I've got it here. Oh, I've got it still written down. Pereira is how you say it.
Yeah,
Pereira. Isotta Pereira sat down with me and just showed me the interface that people are going to use. So it's done inside of Learn on the Sensei platform, which is a learning management system. And the idea is that you get credits and you build it up and you do your thing, but it doesn't have to be this one particular thing. It says here that you could do, what does it say? Oh, can't find it now. But basically, if you can do it inside of WordPress, it's possible. It doesn't have to be code. It could be theme building, or, you know, there's all sorts of different options. And so that's happening at a university near you, if you're in South America, soon, with the idea that it might roll out over the long term. WordCamp US, WordCamp Europe, WordCamp Asia. If you look around the room and you're honest with yourself, it's not got many kids there. There ain't many kids or people under the age of 20. And, you know, I can pretty much figure out why. You know, there's AI, you could make loads of money, so why wouldn't you do that? But we need things like this to make it appealing, to teach people how this sort of stuff works, to get people into open source. And so bravo, I think this is absolutely fabulous. Right, over to you. I've talked far too much. Just interrupt one another, tell me what you think.
I think it's a good thing getting some fresh faces and fresh eyes into the project, so you kind of try and get them in young before they start seeing other things like Wix and Squarespace and
right.
Figma and all that lot, to then try and get your talent into them earlier, and then they can just like move on into it.
Yeah, yeah.
In a nice way, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Taco?
Yeah, I think it's super important that we show WordPress to students. Let them know it exists. Teach them how it works, and hopefully they'll spread the message, and we'll see youth join us.
Well, do you know what? Like, I mean, if you imagine it, if you're at a university and some like random thing comes out of the ether, and it's kind of to do with the internet, and you're at a computer science laboratory, and you get to design your own curriculum, I think that's actually, like, I think that's quite appealing. Rather than it being handed down to you as this, here's the curriculum for this year, you've got to do this module, this module, this module. If somebody were to come to you and say, we've got this module, but you can kind of build it yourself, and you get to do it in your own time at home, and you get to meet a bunch of new people, and maybe even attendance of WordPress events and things like that might figure into the bit. I think that's pretty cool. I would have been somebody's arm off, frankly.
I think you were a better student than I was.
Oh.
Because I'd be like, I don't want choice. Just tell me what to do. And
oh,
I'll
really?
Do the
okay. No, I
and even that
wouldn't.
Didn't work out for me, but yeah.
You needed structure.
Different story.
Yeah, okay. Alex, any thoughts?
I think the blocker here is probably the lack of free tier on the most of the hosting plans, which can afford free, like, not highly visited, like low bandwidth space for those students to train on, to spin their website on, and share the link, show the backend, and so on. So right now, I guess the only place to try it is WordPress.com.
Or I imagine, because I think you're trying to create something which, you know, your university, so they provide you with a mentor?
Yes, this is also great.
Yeah, I guess maybe even something like Studio might be, you know, suitable. I don't know if it has to be public facing or anything like that. I think the knowledge acquisition is the point. So yeah, interesting point. If it had to be on a hosted system, you would want those partners jumping in, wouldn't you? Like the big hosting companies offering free tiers for these
for students,
these platforms. And I know that for the some other side of it, things like WP Campus Connect, where they're trying to get different parts of the globe involved in the WordPress community, not at universities, the hosting companies are kind of stepping on board. So maybe there's more conversations to be had around that exact point. So that's a good point. Thank you. Getting back to FAIR quickly, Reese hopped in and he thought 99% use case would be an MU plugin for hosts. To which Alex, who's obviously here, said, yeah, that seems like the most common use case for it to be an MU plugin instead of another plugin. So something's got basically there but hidden. Okay, interesting. All right, so there we go. That's incredibly exciting to me. Costa Rica jumping on board. I'm sure that now we've got two. It's one of those things that maybe the dominoes will start to fall once institutions see that, oh, okay, it's not new. We're not the first person to move on it. Maybe it'll become a little bit more popular. Certainly hope so.
I think part of this announcement was also, if you're a company and you can help out by taking on students, helping them, learn WordPress, please reach out, because that might be the bigger blocker, is not finding the students, but finding the guidance.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, thank you.
If you have
found them. Sorry, Taco, I interrupted you. Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have a company and you have the room to help out with this program, please do.
And I found a little bit in the text which indicates the kind of things that you could be involved in were you to be a part of this. It said, possible projects include translating documentation or writing and editing content. So that's pretty wide-ranging, isn't it? It's fascinating. Organizing community events. I mean, if you're a computer science major, it feels like that's never going to be a part of your credit, but maybe it is, who knows. Contributing code, testing, creating educational materials for Learn. Each student will be paired with a mentor in their chosen area and supported by the foundation. It sounds really kind of ephemeral, doesn't it? You can't really get your hands on it, but then sitting down with Isotta and seeing on the screen the LMS that they're going to walk through, it kind of just hit home, like, oh, this has actually been really well thought through. Here's the ways that people are going to log in. Here's the ways they're going to communicate with their mentor. Here's the ways that they're going to submit the materials when they've proven what they've done. And it's all been done. It's taken care of. So it's a thing. It's a total thing. Okie doke. Right, let's move on. Now we're going to do events. And there's quite a few of these to get through. So we'll go fairly quickly. First one is this. The schedule for the WP Accessibility Day, which is not that far away now, is the 15th of October, 2025, and it's on the screen here. Starts off with Joe Dolson. He's making the opening remarks. I won't go through it all because you can find it yourself. 2025, the numerals, WP Accessibility Day. They're another one. They got the fab domain name. And it's all there. So you can go and check out that. It's like a full 24 hours of stuff, one thing at a time. Yep. So there's no two tracks. You just got one track, I think. Is it more than a day? It starts at, what time does it start?
It's
full
24
day.
Hours.
Full 24 hours. So something available, even if you're in a part of the world which isn't normally serviced by these things. So there's that. But also, if you fancy lending support to the event, we have the call for volunteers. I'm pretty sure this has been going for a while. This is not a new piece, but...
No, we recently opened up the call for volunteers.
Oh, okay.
Because it's an online event, there is less logistics involved. So that's why we didn't want people to have to commit before summer holidays. So it's really, we've just opened it up and are hoping to get a few hands to help us out.
Yeah, 25th of August. And you keep saying we, so that implies, Taco, that you're in some way, shape, or form connected with this, I guess.
Yeah, I'm on the organizing team of the WP Accessibility Day.
Nice. Yep. Yeah. So it's happening in about 6 weeks' time. So if you want to be a volunteer, please Google it or just go to 2025 WP Accessibility Day and there's a Get Involved tab right up here. So volunteer or donate. Or in my case, maybe be a media partner or something like that. So there you go. Okay, that's the first thing. Just whilst we're on the subject, Joe Dolson here, who is the making the opening remarks, he's one of the board members and what have you. I just thought I'd give him a bit of a hat tip because he comes on WP Builds fairly frequently. You can see that, I don't know, every 2 months or so, he and I sit down and we tackle one thing in accessibility. I mean, literally one thing. So we might do navigation menus or something like that. Well, I've got another episode which we recorded a day before I went to WordCamp US, so it's not quite edited yet, so I'll be doing that in the next few days. So you can get to that if you go to wpbuilds.com and use the archives menu, and it's here, accessibility show archive, and you can see Joe in real life, you know, going through WordPress showcase websites very often and just finding out how they do navigation or finding out how they do buttons or finding out how they do one thing or another. Okay. Righty-ho. This is still accessibility. God, this is nice. We don't normally spend like any amount of time on accessibility, let alone like four things in a row. So this is great. Equalized Digital. This is written by Amber Hines, who is there, one of the founders. She has created, I think for the second time, maybe it's more than two, but the accessibility comparison of page builders in the WordPress space. And there is no way that I'm going to be able to do this justice. So my scrolling will give you some indication. So I've got a trackpad here and I'm going to start scrolling fairly quickly. And you get the idea. It just keeps going and going and going and going. Basically, this it's a lot. And the reason it's a lot is because they break down the first like quarter of it, I suppose, is breaking down what the heck they're up to. Like, what are the tests that they're going to perform? How do they do it? How do they cause it to be fair and so on? And so you go through that whole thing. How does the testing work? And like I said, that's about a quarter of it. This whole spreadsheet thing that they've got and how they score points. And then you get into the actual data. It's all done in these tables. And so, for example, at the minute, we're looking at only one thing, which is navigation accessibility. And here across the top are the different page builders, and, you know, ticks and crosses and warning signs and so on. It basically boils down to a score at the end. And I'm sure you all just want to know who won. Because isn't that what everybody just wants to know? And here it is.
Or how is my page builder doing?
Yeah. Probably. I mean, especially if you work for one. How's my page builder doing? The one that came out on top is Cadence, followed by Generate, Press, and Blocks. I guess really it's Generate Blocks we're talking about there. Grade, Elementor. I don't know if that's a big shift, but it feels like Elementor being in fourth place would be a change. I don't know.
Compared to a couple of years ago, definitely is.
Yeah. GreenShift, not one I've even really come across much. Beaver Builder, Breakdown, the list goes on, right? On we go. However, caveat emptor, I just do want to say one thing, which Amber makes the point of. Cadence, who got 100% on everything. You think, gosh, that's remarkable. There's maybe a reason it's remarkable. Amber and Equalized Digital were employed by Cadence to go in and really overhaul their systems. So with that in mind, it's no surprise that the testing that Amber then did reflected a very favorable score, because, you know, that doesn't in any way, shape or form mean that the test can't be relied on. I mean, it just so happens they bothered to pay her, so she did the hard work of doing all the due diligence. I think in that scenario, you'd kind of expect them to come first, right?
Yeah. But so I hope all the others will do the same.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. But some of them, like Generate, Press, and Blocks, did really impressively. Grade, Elementor. I mean, you know, some of the things were extremely minor, but they knocked the overall score down. It's broken up into these different sections. Here's, you know, does, for example, hover focus content accessibility was one of the things they did. Page builder context change accessibility, page builder reflow. It's all getting very technical. Animation accessibility, image accessibility, default color contrast, link text. I could go on.
Yeah. Thing is, if you scroll almost all the way down, there's a quick summary. And it has some positive notes where you can see that there's a couple of page builders that have seen a huge growth in last year. Yeah, slightly further down.
Down, below that?
Yeah, further down. There's conclusions. And then there's a positive...
Positive signs.
Yes.
Nice.
And you can see that the Beaver Builder team did a huge improvement.
Wow.
Over a year.
Yeah. Below 50% to almost 70%. So 70% reflects, you know, 70% of the tests got a green light, basically. Bricks from 50 to 60, let's call that 64, let's round it up. And Generate Press from 68 to 82, rolling them into second place. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So I think this is a very good example. It is possible. You have to be willing to put in the work. So let's hope they all do it.
And also, if you're working for one of these companies, like a really positive marketing bit, you know, if you're working for Generate Blocks, Cadence, whichever, you know, the ones appearing closer to the top, you've now got something really credible to sell, especially, you know, the year that we've just had. We've got the European Accessibility Act, which is now in force and in law, and essentially it doesn't matter where you are on the globe, that's probably going to matter to you, especially if you're selling stuff to within Europe. Really credible. You probably, I would imagine, are favoring some builders over others on the basis of this. Find out more at WP Accessibility Day. Maybe Amber will give us intel. Is she, do you know if she's doing a talk on this, Taco? I don't know if you're doing it.
Well, she's one of the lead organizers, so she might be a little busy to do a talk herself.
Yeah, bless. Yes, no kidding. Yeah, okay. Dave, Alex, anything on that? Gosh, we're not getting through these in anything like a timely way.
I'm just glad to see the Page Builder that I swapped across to in more than like the last year and a half is now at the top, and the one I moved away from is probably near the very bottom. So,
interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Not going to name any names, but it's got four letters, and we're still waiting for version 5.
Okay. Oh, not to name any names, but we could all work that out. and Alex, sorry.
Yeah, we're going to say that I'm a bit behind on the accessibility stuff, though we are located in Europe as well. I'm mostly relying on my team to handle that. So I'm more performance and scalability oriented guy, but yeah, I think accessibility is becoming more and more important in real world, and it's really valuable for other companies to keep track of that on the builds that they're doing.
No kidding, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And I guess WP Accessibility Day is your perfect antidote to that, isn't it? You know, you don't have to give a great deal of your life away. One day is all it takes to get upskilled in many, many things. So, okay, I don't know if we've done the accessibility bit for this week. Yes, we have. So that was a lot. So that's really nice. Right, moving on. This was announced at WordCamp US. Well, I don't know if that's true. It's probably announced adjacent to it. But Rocket.net, a very popular and increasingly popular WordPress host, has joined forces with another increasingly popular one. So you may have heard of hosting.com. They, tell me again, Taco, what was the, was it A2 hosting, I believe? Yeah, A2 hosting. Got kind of rebranded, but also hosting.com has been doing a job of acquiring, purchasing lots of smaller hosting companies, particularly in Asia, where I think WordPress's growth is really taking off. They have joined forces. The word here is partnership. It doesn't say acquisition, as far as I know. And they've partnered together. So Rocket.net, over the last few weeks, we heard that one of the regulars on this show, Jess Frick, has taken over there as the, let me get this right, her name is mentioned.
General Manager.
Thank you. You're so much more, got much better memories than I do. Jess has become the general manager of Rocket. I guess that means Ben Gabler, who was the founder, has stepped away from that role and is taking on a different role over at hosting.com more generally. But the idea that Rocket.net sell into the marketplace is that they are fast. And I understand Ben has quite a heritage in, you know, working, making WordPress websites fast. And the idea is these two companies will stay as separate brands. I think hosting.com will still maintain that brand name and Rocket will still maintain that brand name. But a whole load of different experience around WordPress hosting brought into the room now. So, you know, hopefully these two things can offer something to all of their customers. I don't really have anything more to add except well done. I imagine that was a fairly fraught, lengthy process, but very well done to everybody involved. Anybody want to add anything?
Someone I trust very much in this area said that Rocket.net might be the single best host out there at the moment. And if they can bring their expertise to the scale of hosting.com, and if I know Ben, I mean, he's present and he will not back down. So if he can make that change within hosting.com, they have the potential to really disrupt the hosting industry with this partnership.
Yeah, that's the word that I'm hearing as well, is exactly that, is that with hosting.com's scale and Rocket.net's sort of technical layer, that was basically what I was hearing as well, is that they're hoping to amalgamate the two things, and to do that at scale will be incredibly difficult, I would have thought. But obviously, if you've grown a company on the back of exactly that promise, who better to hire, really, than Ben? So he's maybe freed up to do that. Ben said, this is not an exit, it's an entrance. We've taken the best of everything both companies have built over decades, and we're providing it under one platform. So there you go. And my understanding as well is that the technicalities and the devil in the detail of how Rocket.net go about doing what they do is the secret sauce. Honestly, I heard words from coming out of people's mouths, but it was like going so over my head. I was like, okay, yeah, it sounds impressive. but I didn't fully understand it. But okay, good luck, hosting.com and Rocket.net. Anything else from anybody else? Okay, let's move on to events quickly. So there's a lot of events happening at the moment. Please just interrupt me, you three, if you've got anything to add, because there's like five or six just to get through. Oh, I'm going to be, I don't know how to pronounce most of them, so there'll be that. So the schedule for this one, WCEH, WordCamp A. So this is the Canadian one, WordCamp Canada, you might as well call it, but they've called themselves WordCamp A. Their schedule is now available. It's happening in about 6 weeks. So that's available at canada.wordcamp.org. Don't really have much to add apart from that there it is. Then this one, help. Where's this one?
Serbia. I really don't know how to pronounce the city name.
No, it's spelled V. Well, in the alphabet, as I would say it, it's spelled V-R-S-A-C, but the S has got a curious-looking character on the top, so I don't know how that letter is actually deployed. But that's happening in just a couple of weeks. So if you're in Serbia, WPVS. So it's WRSAC.wordcamp.org. You can find the home of that there, and it's happening very, very soon, in the next few weeks, so shout-out to them. More shout-outs. Here's another one. This one... Lithuania, happening later in the month, 25th of September to the 26th of September. This one's curiously all in English. I wonder if Google has translated it for me, or if they've gone to
I know they intentionally go multilingual, so it might just be that they've done the site in English. I'm not entirely sure.
Is that a photo from last year? Good grief, look at that. Blimey, eh?
Well, this is WordCamp Europe, I think, the photo, because this is...
I was going to say.
In Turin.
Yeah, in Turin, in the factory.
I was going to say, that is like, that's massive. That's really, oh, here you go, 400 participants. You know what? I suspect that probably is about 400. So anyway, there you go. There's Lithuania. So that's going to be happening 25th to the 26th. You can find that at lithuania.wordcamp.org. We're not finished yet. There's still more to come. This one, I'm not even going to... I apologize, the people who've come up with this one.
Something like that.
We don't know.
Nigeria.
Okay, it's where?
Nigeria.
Isn't that amazing? So we've got one also in Nigeria. So we've got two in Europe, one in Canada. Here's one in Nigeria. So this one is happening also this month, 20th of September. There's loads going on. This is great. Yep. Feels like we're back. last year there was none of this. Well, there was, but it wasn't quite as frenetic, I don't think. And we got two more events to come. Here's the first one. This one is
Poland.
Dear. Yeah. Okay.
Gdynia.
Lovely. Thank you for helping me there. Gdynia. There we go. Thank you so much. And what are the dates? We have the 26th to the 28th of that month. Whatever that month is. Maybe I can do a quick translation.
September.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So there's quite a lot of overlap. If you're in Europe and you're towards the middle and the end of this month, there's three going on. That's great. And they're not massively far away from each other in many cases. So that's quite nice. You might be able to get to more than one.
I mean, at the same time, I'll be at an event in your backyard.
Which one are you going to?
LoopConf in London.
Oh, well, that's LoopConf we've mentioned on several occasions. So LoopConf is happening on Thursday, the last Thursday of September. I've featured it three or four times, so I thought I'd skip it because we had so many this week, but I'll be featuring it as we run up to the event. You're coming over for that, are you?
Yes.
Can I just ask you to come over a day early? Do you know why?
Yes, because there's a meetup and I'll be there.
Yeah, nice. We run Dan Mabey and I run the WPLDN. So it's a meetup in London. We do it every month. And a bit of bad luck was that the LoopConf event took place on the day that we would be doing ours. So we phoned up the venue and we got it shifted one day further forward. So we're doing ours on the Wednesday. So we're hoping that quite a few people will come in, do the event with us on the Wednesday evening, go to the pub and have a few drinks. And then, hopefully in a good frame of mind, not too many drinks, head to the LoopConf on the following day, which is a central London-based event. So, yeah, come and join us. We have a limited space because our event is normally what it is, so we can fit in what we normally have capacity for. But this LoopConf one feels like it might be a bit different. So when the event goes live, I will publish it on the tweets and things like that. So make sure to book your space, otherwise you might be... The meetup system might lock you out. So Taco, get in early. That's all I can say.
Will do.
Yeah, thank you. So there's that LoopConf as well. So we're mentioning that. But this one, I thought I'd mention because we haven't mentioned it for a little while. Very successful event last year over in Tempe, Arizona. This is slightly different in that this one is not available at wordcamp.org because it's not a charter program one. But it was very popular last year. 140 delegates attended last year, but they're upping the number to 200. But the venue will stay the same. Everything basically is the same as last year. So I think to a person, everybody said that they'd had a really good time, I think. So it's happening the 8th to the 11th. Now, but there was some clash here, right?
Yes. Yeah. So last week at WordCamp US, Matt announced the dates for WordCamp Asia, and that is the 9th until the 11th of April. So it overlaps with PressConf.
I mean, it entirely overlaps.
Yeah, you have to decide. Either you go to Phoenix, to Tempe, Arizona, or you have to go to Mumbai, India.
Oh, that's...
There's no way to do both.
No, and what's curious about that one, I think, is that there's the people who attend the LoopConf one, I think a lot of them would have chosen to go to both of those. So that's a really curious dilemma that they're going to face. Okay. Well, anyway, there you go. It's been organized that way. So that means that you've got to pick one or the other. WordCamp Asia in Mumbai or PressConf in Tempe, Arizona. And WordCamp US has also been announced, and on a kind of curious day, it's going to be in Phoenix, Arizona, in probably the hottest month of the year. It's going to be in August. Now, I say that like it's no big deal, but my understanding is in Phoenix, Arizona, in August, it's like really, really hot.
I've heard 40 degrees centigrade or 100 freedom units. Scorching heat in the desert.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's what it is. But it's right in the middle of the UK summer holidays. And I imagine if you're in North America, it's quite a likelihood that it'll be during your summer holiday as well. And as I said, I think those kind of things do actually have a bit of a material impact on the attendee numbers. So anyway, that's what's been decided. On the stage, one of when Matt went up and did his Q&A at WordCamp US, one of the questions was just literally somebody asked, it was something about the temperature, like, do you know how hot it is in Phoenix during that time of the year? And he said, we can use air conditioning. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We can. So anyway, there we go. So that's all happening. They're the events. That's what you've got. Right, this, I have no words. I honestly want to not like AI so very much, but every time I use it, it's kind of, oh dear, it's okay. It's got that much better. So this was announced, or at least I hadn't heard of it, on the stage at WordCamp US. It's called Telex, and this is going to change your life. It enables you, in a prompt, one little box there, to create a block. It'll do the code for writing a block. All you've got to do is add in a prompt. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to add in a prompt live and watch it fail. But I can tell you, about 5 minutes before this show started, I did the same prompt and it didn't fail. It totally works. But here's what I want, right? It's dead simple. Obviously, I'm not really pushing any boundaries here, but here we go. I've written, I want a block which will enable me to add a date time feature to my WordPress posts. I want to be able to pick a date in the and time in the post editor and then have that surface in the post with an included block. I mean, I've not given a lot there, have I? It's fairly straightforward. And I was thinking, yeah, let's see what happens. So, you know, it goes away. It does things. The UI exposes that it's up to things. You can't really make anything of that UI. It's not really showing you anything. It's just sort of scrolling through. But look, it seems to be doing something. I don't know if that's the real thing or if that's just some sort of animated GIF that they've got there. But it, apparently already it's done 120, 130 now, 160 now lines of code, 180, something like that. And on we go. But the secret sauce, the bit that I think makes this project more interesting, is that when it's finished this bit, oh, good timing, Telex, well done. It then starts Playground, and there it is. There's my thing. And so it says no date time selected. I'm presuming I have... Oh, okay. So this is different. This is not what I had before. So it's done a different variant of the same thing. So let's go... Before I had this like picker, let's go and put one in, see what we got. I'm going to put in a date. Let's go for 1964, something like that. And let's put in that something was at 12 midday. Da, da, da. Let's
see. How random is this date, Nathan? Is that your birthday?
No, I am not that old. I am quite old, but I'm not that old. So what's curious here is it's given me two completely different things. Previously, it gave me a graphical UI that you could, you know, click on the dates instead. Here, I had to type it in. But look, it totally did it. You know, is it flashy?
Not quick. Yeah, if you try the calendar icon on the right.
Yeah, okay, so that's equal. I can tell you it's totally different, though. The UX wasn't using whatever this date picker is. It obviously relied on a different date picker technology. But okay, let's just change it around a little bit. And look, you can see it's totally doing its job. And what did that take? Like, what, 40 seconds from start to finish, something like that? And the fact that it's launched it in Playground and given me an actual demo of it, I think is pretty cool. What did you make of that? I mean, is this like totally normal these days, or is that something reasonably extraordinary that it can piece together all those bits in Playground at the end?
I was just going to suggest, can you make it, or ask it to make a CSS-based slider so that Alex can start using it?
Oh my gosh. Right, here we go. Let's okay. So I want the prompt because I'm not very good at prompting. So let's leave the site. Let's refresh it. So there we go. It says project/new. So what do we want as a block? Let's try it. I want a CSS based slider. What else do we need?
Maybe that like it's image and text. Or
oh, okay. I want to, what's that? Want to upload images and add text, like alt text, something like that?
No. Like just a regular paragraph. Beneath
okay.
The image.
Underneath it.
Okay. And text for each image. Should we just stop there and see how it does? Yeah. I mean, that's almost nothing. Should we go with that? I want to add a CSS-based slider. I want to upload images and text for each image. Right, we'll have to just keep waffling and talking for a moment, but we'll come. But we could come back to that in just a second. I feel that's not going to probably require as much time as the previous one. So what we'll do is we'll leave that spinning in the background. We'll come back to it in a second, and we'll go to these ones.
Interestingly, and I'm not a developer, and I have no intention of being one, but I wonder what the code quality is that it outputs. Would this be production ready?
Yeah. That bit I can't speak
to. Maybe we can look at Rhys or Tim Nash to do a full review of the code quality that comes out of this.
Well, as luck would have it, Elliot Richmond has just dropped into the comments, and Elliot is a UK-based developer of some renown. I would say that we could trust his intuitions on this. And here we go. Yeah, it failed. Great. Tried Telex yesterday, and it failed at the playground end for me. Okay, so in this scenario, when it fails at the playground bit, presumably you get nothing in return. It just fails horribly. It's a complete, like, dev null goes into the abyss. But we seem to have it working. Have you got any intuition as to what we should do? Okay, I clicked on the block, which was obviously, you know, buried in here somewhere. It says called CSS image text slider. It's named the block for me, and it says add a slide. Okay, let me select an image. Well, I haven't got any, so I'll have to upload one. I'll quickly do that. I've got loads of sort of WP. Let's add a few WP Tavern ones. No, I'll do a WP Build one. Let's go for episodes. Let's pick last week's and find an image. Let's go for the small one. There we go. That was the one that we had, right? Let's select that. So I can add in some alt text if I want. There it is. Can I add in another one?
Yeah, you can add some text below it as well.
Okay, so I'm just going to put text one for the sake of it. Change image, add in a slide. Okay, let's select an image. I'll have to upload another one. Go back to a previous week. Let's go for that.
Do the week beforehand, and it'd be like two of me there on it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there'd be absolutely loads of you. No, that's work. That's fine. All right. Okay. And then let's put text two. All right. And should we just stop there? See what the heck we got? I mean, it's probably not going to be all that great, but let's save it and publish it. Let's have a look at it on a new tab. Can you still see that? And it failed. Reload. I wonder if it's
don't reload, because that will kill your playground.
Oh,
I think it did a new tab from the look of it.
Yeah,
it started in a new tab. I've got it here. Yeah, maybe still. Don't. Let me see.
It's still on the preview, Rob.
Oh, it says front end here. I didn't realize there was a front end button. I don't normally play in Playground, so let's see what that gets us. Okay, there we go. Let's see what we get. Is that our slider then? Okay. I don't know if it's CSS based. I don't know what level of incredible that is, but that's it's purporting to do what we asked it to do. That's not bad, is it?
It's trying
a couple of images. There's a bit of text. Sorry, Alex, say again.
I'm saying it's trying. It's really good, like comparing to nothing and just with just one line of text.
It did exactly that. So go back into the editor. Obviously, we've now got our block. That's the block. I mean, you know, it did what it purported to do. It's given us the options that we asked for. I mean, it was like 12 words. Yeah. That's pretty remarkable, I think.
It's not the backend experience we typically deliver to our customers. Everything is in the UI and you have less controls on the right. So we're trying to make everything in the middle at the Gutenberg.
Yeah.
But considering there is like the person who has no coding skills can do that. That's cool.
Okay, so that is the bit that I think is curious about this, is that it suddenly makes available to regular people I'll just build my own little block. You know, I'm putting on a town hall, or I don't know, I've got a car boot sale, we call them in the UK. I have a requirement to sell a bunch of stuff off my backyard, and I'd like to put a little website up to say what I'm going to sell. We just did it. Is it perfect? Probably not. Is the code going to be the best you've ever seen? I'm sure it isn't. But did it do what it needed to do? It certainly did. And it took minutes. And it's absolutely breathtaking and horrifying in equal measure.
Well, yeah, and that's where I wonder about code quality, because if anyone can put anything on the web, does it add enough value? Is it good enough, or are we just polluting the web with crap code and half working features?
I'm sure that's what a lot of us are doing. Alex, sorry, I think I interrupted.
Yeah, I said we are. that's what's happening. Like, if you look at the WordPress ecosystem right now, and there are obviously like 43% of the web like powered by the WordPress. But is there any statistics like how many of those websites are outdated with like outdated plugins and stuff like that, which are still giving us a good percent on the market, but they definitely need some rework and maintain.
Oh, now that's an interesting point, because in effect, what I've just created is a plugin, in effect, which will never be updated. Yeah. And so whatever the heck that code is going to sit there for the rest of my website's life, and I have no idea that I'll ever go back to it and, you know, update it. And that's one of the constant calls in the security community, isn't it? Is keep your site updated. But I've just given myself a free rein to put something on my website. I have no idea what the code is in the background. And I'll probably never come back to it because it's just that disposable. That's interesting. And I hadn't thought about that. I was so carried away with how easy it was to do it. I forgot about whether or not it's actually a good idea to deploy that. So that's
the Jurassic Park quote, just because you could doesn't mean you should.
Exactly. But I think we're in that space with AI, aren't we? We're all totally beguiled by what it can do. And so we are just creating just stuff, loads of stuff, make all the stuff because it can do it. And Alex has just come up with a really, really credible reason why I might want to put my foot on the brake a little bit. However, it was fun. Imagine it? Sorry, Taka.
Yeah. So, and at the same time, it's a perfect proof of concept.
Yep.
If you want to get something, could this possibly work? You get something and then you improve and you build something out of it if you have those skills. So it's not absolutely useless, but there is a risk to it.
Yeah, I think that's right. Okay, so maybe if it was to be used in the wild with you know, if this was something that Automattic might want to ship into WordPress itself, we'd want those caveats, wouldn't we? We'd want the warnings about how it was. But remember, all I wrote was, I want a CSS-based slider. I want to upload images and text for each image. I pretty much did that. It's just fairly scary. Good Lord. And Taco, thank you. Courtney saying, I was with Courtney just the other day. Gosh, that feels like a million years ago, Courtney, and it was literally like a day and a half ago. How I managed to stay awake. I am not awake. The real one of me is asleep in over there somewhere. This is the AI version.
Dave is just a fantastic ventriloquist. Jesus, what a word.
It's easy for you to say. You picked the most difficult word to say. Thank you, Courtney. I am trying to stay awake, but I'm struggling a little bit. Right, let's press on. Time is almost out, so let me just cherry pick the ones which I think were interesting. Quick hat tip. That's my playground. Just very quickly, there are three interesting things if you want to convert things in the web. Ben Intel from Stackable has built a plugin called Cimo or Chimo or whatever that is, CIMO, which will enable you to do things like turn JPEGs into WebPs and things like that. It's a plugin. But also I noticed that on the back of that this week, a couple of things using WebAssembly, I'm guessing, in the background have launched this week. They're free to use. One's called howtoconvert.co, and it does it all in the browser. And one's called con with two O's, convert.tools. So you can go and check those out. I wanted to give this more time, but we haven't got it. I wanted to give a hat tip to Mike McAllister from the Ollie theme. I'm guessing it's the pro version, but I don't know. It might be in the free one. They've built what looks like a really credible navigation builder. I don't know if it binds to the Ollie theme or if it's available, you know, in any old theme, but the ability to create navigation in the block editor is basic, to say the least, on a vanilla WordPress site. Well, he's suddenly made it possible to point, click, drag, create fun things like mega menus and style the links so that they look attractive rather than the extremely basic version you get with the vanilla version of WordPress. So there's that. It's called Menu Designer. And I'll put the links in the show.
It's only Pro, you can see on the button.
I see it says get. I don't know if it's bundled with, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think you're right. It does seem that way, doesn't it, Dave? I think it probably is in the version. Speaking of AI, as we were, my understanding is that AI loves a good bit of documentation. If it can slurp it up and learn from it, then it's as happy as can be. Well, WordPress, as I thought it, had done a pretty good job, you know, open sourcing all of their materials, knowledge bases and docs and what have you. But it's been taken to the nth degree. This is Caspar SD on GitHub, who has turned everything into markdown files, which I presume an LLM can pass much more quickly, easily, I don't know.
Yeah, it can be used as a context, or probably like some MCP server can be built on top of that.
Got it. Okay. Right, that makes sense. Okay, so thank you for basically taking the time to do that. That was that one. What have we got here? No. Quick hat tip, because he's a good friend. Mark Westgaard, over the course of WordCamp US, had a 30% off for his WS forms. I've got a feeling you might still be able to make use of it. So if you want to do that, the coupon code was WC30. If it's run out, I'm sorry, but I thought I'd try it. I've got a feeling it might still work. So go and get 30% off this fabulous plugin. You've seen it everywhere, I'm sure. Also, Fluent, the company that seemed to be like releasing a fairly credible plugin about every 8 or 9 minutes, they've released Fluent Affiliate. Their product suite is so self-contained now. They've just got everything. And this was a missing piece. They're launching a cart solution very soon. Fluent Cart coming out very, very soon, is my understanding. They've got a lifetime deal. And I know you all say that you don't buy lifetime deals, but I know that you all buy lifetime deals. So there it is. Two sites for $199. I'm sure it'll go much more like that per year in the near future. Here we go. This will make this the last one, and then we'll probably be out of time. Let me just check. Oh, no, that's got to be the last one. Are you all right for another couple of minutes, you guys?
Absolutely, yes.
Dave, you okay?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, great. Okay, in which case, I'll take my foot off the pedal a bit. We've got two left, and the last one is nuts. This one, though, is security. Patchstack case study finds hosting defenses fail against 87, let's call it 88, percent of WordPress exploits. So Patchstack, you know, honestly, years ago there were a few players in the WordPress security space who were making all the noise. I think Patchstack has basically come right to the, you know, it's risen to the top somehow with a lot of hard work. So they've got a new case study, and they found that hosting companies, and they picked 11 hosting companies, and they only picked them because they wrote in their advertising materials that they took security seriously. So they kind of opted themselves in that way, if you know what I mean. 11 hosting companies, and they did a whole range of testing. So for example, there was privilege escalation, SQL injection, arbitrary file upload, ran a bunch of these exploits, and discovered that basically, 88% of them failed. And even the good ones, things like Cloudflare, where they had the Cloudflare firewall in front, even then, Cloudflare only caught 4 of them. I don't know what the takeaway of this is. Alex, it sounded like you had a bit of wisdom to do with this. Do you want to hit it?
Yeah. So basically, security is one of the most important things of WordPress. That's why we talked before, like keeping things up to date and making sure that you are secured if you are well maintained. But there is only one source, as far as I know, and it was WP-Scan. I think the repository of WordPress security vulnerabilities, which I think is owned by Automattic as well. and is now integrated into Jetpack. So the only way for hosting platforms is to run scans on the plugins version and the versions that are affected on the source. So I know the WP Engine doing that. So, but it's not an instant event. So if those tests were run right after uploading something, there might be like some time that has to pass after automatic scanners are parsing those files and plugin versions and things like that to take any action and notify the owners of the websites that their WordPress websites contains like hacked or plugin with the security issues.
So the winner here, according to this at least anyway, is Cloudflare's web application firewall. They seem to see that as being the most likely to stop things, but only 4 out of the 11.
Because
in many cases, that some of these hosting companies, which by the way are not named, which I think is probably a good thing, failed all of them. So all of the 11 things that they injected or, you know, uploaded or whatever it may be, did what they were intended to do. I suppose it, with this, with the patch stack piece, there's always that in the back of your mind. They're obviously sowing the seed of doubt and sowing a bit of fear. I mean, that's their marketing, right? So, yeah. You know, if 88 for things are failing, oh, you know, and then obviously, oh, I wonder if PatchStack's got a solution. Well, you know, that's their marketing shtick, I guess. But nevertheless, interesting.
The Cloudflare, I wanted to add that the Cloudflare blocked the four threads because it's a real-time proxy and the firewall. So it doesn't need any time to check the code and scan the code of the website to spot the security threat.
I don't know if you all do the same thing as me, but basically if I put anything onto the internet, it now sits behind Cloudflare. I just see that as, for me at least, a sensible default because I often just use the free tier.
Yeah.
Speed. It's just incredible what they give away, you know, with the hope of getting you onto the paid plans. But the free stuff is just remarkable. I think Cloudflare workers might be a part of the Rocket.net secret sauce that we were talking about earlier. I don't really know, but I think that might be part of how it all hangs together. Anyway, there you go. That was that. Now, we'll end on this complete doozy. I'd never heard of this thing, but there's a magazine called Byte, B-Y-T-E. I love the internet. This is so great. And what you're seeing here is, well, it's junk, isn't it? It's just a random series of lines. It looks like a bar chart. What the heck is that?
Yeah.
Until you become a little bit more curious and you start to pinch and zoom. So I'm just going to place my mouse kind of in the middle of this load of nonsense and I'll pinch a little bit. And I don't know if you've detected that now a bunch of images seemed to come into view. Zoom out again. There we go. Same view. Zoom back in again. Okay. And you think, okay, they look curious. They're all slightly different colors. They're all the same shape. Oh, they look a bit like magazine pages, don't they? And then you zoom in a bit more. What the heck? And then you zoom in and you keep zooming in and you can read every one of their, well, I guess they haven't put all of their content out there, but they've got something from each issue that they've ever done. And you can get right in. Look at it. It's mental. And it's right at the beginning.
Absolutely brilliant.
Isn't it? Isn't it just? What a great way. I mean, look at that. Look at that. And my initial response was, firstly, how the heck do they do it? You know, that's a nutty image. You know, it's like 2 terabytes of image or something like that. But then I thought, no, that loaded straight away on my machine. And so presumably they're doing some async, I don't know, Ajaxy sort of loading in the background. Alex, yeah. It felt like you had some intel there. I don't know, on a technical level or?
Yeah, probably different SRC set for different screen sizes and dynamically reloading them, because if they would load all them all at once, it would just blow your browser.
Break the internet.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, Is there an application for this apart from this? Not really that I can think of, but it's very, very, very clever. And I love that about the internet. You know, when I see something which has no practical application whatsoever, but is still kind of fun and remarkable, it's very cool. I don't know what happened here.
I can see Marcus Burnett doing this for the WP World with all the avatars of all the WordPressers.
There you go. Marcus was in the comments before. I don't know if he's still there, but you've now been given a job by Taco. Also, Marcus, while you're there, if you could make your card game, which is absolutely fabulous, if you could make it radar proof or LIDAR proof or whatever the heck they use, that would be nice as well. Okay, so that's the final one. You'll find that at the URL byte. I'm not going to read that. I'll put it into the show notes. It's in some formulation of Japanese, I think, and I can't quite read it out, but I'll put it into the show notes, and then you too can be scrolling around meaninglessly for hours on the Byte website, reading stuff that you have no interest in, but you're curious as to how it got on the page. Final comment then from Elliot. Elliot says, like Taco says, so we're going back to the Telex thing, I may use it as a POC starting point, but rip it apart and check it and build myself. Yeah, I think that's, I would imagine that's what that Telex tool is built for, not to deploy live, but to just get a starting point and be able to get a starting point without using any of your, I don't know, you don't have to use a site that you've already got running. Nice site, that Byte stuff, says Patricia. Patricia at the final moment, but for some reason I can't show it. There we go. We can search and download the PDF from that edition we found. Oh, I didn't spot that. Oh, yeah, when you click on it, you get a little downloadable version. That's cool too. Check them out. They're killing it.
Nice.
Yeah, indeed. There we go. That's it. That's all we got time for. Sorry that we overran. I apologize. We're nearly at the 1 hour, 45 minute mark, but thank you. I apologize for my gaffes and, you know, saying incorrect things, which I probably did from time to time because I'm absolutely exhausted. The minute we hit stop, I'm going to lie down on that floor and doze off.
Like Netflix.
but before we do that, we have the Alex, apologies, you probably don't know this. We do this thing every week. Every guest raises their hands a little bit like that. Oh, it's like a pro. And then we use that as the featured image for this episode. So firstly, thank you very much. Go around the houses. Firstly, thank you, Taco, for joining us today. Hopefully you'll be back at some point in the near future.
Absolutely. Dave Gray, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, and I would appreciate you coming on. I'd love it. Dave Gray, who's been on for like the last, I don't know, 14 weeks in a row. Thank you once more. And also Alex, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And hopefully you'll be back. We'll certainly be inviting you back. Okay, that's it. That's all we've got time for. We will see you on the next edition. It will probably be next week. Take care. Stay safe. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.